It's always funny to me how these things work out. I first read this chapter and I thought, well, there's one lesson and we're on the third lesson and we'll have one more next week. But I think it's just so applicable to our lives today. This week I was reading in my devotions in Romans chapter 9 and verse 3, and I was really challenged by what Paul said. Listen carefully. He said, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ." Here's a man who's saying, "I wish, I am willing to be accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Now let that sink in. Here is a man who is so consumed with the truth of the Word of God that if it were possible, he is willing to go to hell that his kinsmen, which would be Israel, might be saved. And I thought about that and I thought, what would my life be like if I was that consumed with giving the truth of the gospel to people? Here's a man who had a right relationship to the Word of God. Now, we've been studying through this passage. We've seen several people who had relationships to the Word of God. One was positive, one was negative. I'll review those in a moment. We're going to get to the third one today. We're going to find a man just like Paul, who is going to speak the truth no matter what the consequences were. He was a man of God, or we could say for you women, are you a woman of God? Are you consumed with giving out the gospel, with giving the people the truth? This man is, and we'll see him in a moment. His name is Micaiah. Let me review very quickly. Number one, we saw Jehoshaphat, who desired the Word of God. He wanted to know. They're going to go into battle. He's yoked up with Ahab, which he should not have done. But he said, I want to hear what God's Word is. He desired the Word of God. Then last week we saw some prophets who did not desire the Word of God, but distorted the Word of God. And I want to review that very quickly for those who are not here. But Jehoshaphat said, look, I want to hear. And so Ahab brings in these 400 prophets. And in unison, they all say what?
Do it.
Go fight. You're going to win. God's going to give you a great victory. It's going to be wonderful. They were in the majority. They said they were speaking for the Lord. They gave a very positive message. They were all in unity. Now, we talked quite a bit last week about the distortion of the Word of God seen all throughout Scripture. And where did we say it all started? First place, Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden. And then I had you look in Jeremiah, and I want to review this verse because it is so powerful. But Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 30 says, a wonderful or an astonishing and horrible thing is committed in the land of Israel. Now what could that be? He said, the prophets prophesy falsely and the priests bear rule by their means. Now think about this. Here is a land where the preachers, the prophets, are not given the truth. They're giving out false teaching. The priests are doing it their way. And here's the kicker. Here's the statement. And the people love to have it so. Now, what would you think if Pastor got up this morning, and I don't know what he's preaching on this morning, but he got up this morning, and he just opened the Bible and he just preached exactly opposite what was in the Word of God? I hope you'd be horrified. I hope you wouldn't be sitting back there saying, amen, Pastor Jody, that's wonderful stuff. I hope not. I don't think you would. I don't think he will. If he does, we're all in trouble this morning. Okay. And Jeremiah goes on to say, and what will be the end thereof? What is the end of people who have pastors and preachers who are preaching false truth? They're not teaching the whole counsel of God. What's the end of that? And we saw that in Micah where God is going to plow them as a field. Jerusalem will become heaps. It's going to be great destruction. And then we moved last week to 2 Timothy 4, where Paul admonished Timothy to preach the word. Why? Be in season. Be in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Why did he say all those things? Because it's going to come a day, he said, when people will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap. I never noticed that word before. But will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they want that kind of preaching because they don't want anything that convicts them. They want a feel-good religion. Are we not in that day today? We are in that day today. Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. Where the mission of many who preach the Word of God is to make you feel better about yourself. To be positive about everything. What a sad thing. And then one verse I did not read last week, I forgot to read, and well, it maybe wasn't on my mind. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul talks about the fact that he did not handle the Word of God. You know what the next word is? Deceitfully. Deceitfully. Are there people today who are handling the Word of God deceitfully? Undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. And for this reason, he admonished Timothy to study, to show thyself reproved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. What's the next phrase? Rightly dividing the Word of God. You know what that word rightly means? The root is, the first part is ortho. Now, if you have crooked teeth, you've gone to what? An orthodontist. And his job is to do what with your teeth? Straighten your teeth. And Paul said, Timothy, you study the Word so you can cut it straight. No distortion. No deception. Well, that's what we need today. That's what we need today. So, we saw these men who distorted the Word of God. And by the way, again, I went to some examples last week. It is rampant today. If you ever leave Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and I hear that you go to one of these feel-good churches, I'm going to come after you. I will find out where you live. I trust the Holy Spirit of God will do that. If you just go to a place because it makes you feel good, it won't change you and make you what you ought to be. Undoubtedly. Well, I've been there long enough. Number three. Let's get to the positive, okay? You know, here we go. In verse 7 and through 9, we find another guy comes on the scene. Let's read that. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord beside that we may inquire of him? And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I like this phrase, there is yet one man. There is one man, Micaiah the son of Imlai, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Isn't that great? But I hate him. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. So he said, look, there is one other guy. Jehoshaphat said, you know, these 400 prophets, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in those boys. Isn't there anybody else? Somebody else that we can hear from besides Ahab's chosen prophets. And he said, yes, there is a man. There is one man. Boy, several thoughts sprang to my mind when I read that verse. One of those is in Ezekiel 22:30, where Ezekiel, the Lord said, I was looking for what? A man or a woman to fill the hedge, to make up the hedge, to stand in the gap. And then I thought this morning of Queen Esther. Who knows if you're not coming to the kingdom for such a time as this? And I'm wondering today, are you the man? Are you the one man or the one woman who will stand up for truth? In your workplace, are you known as the man who will speak the truth? Or the woman who loves God and wants to share the truth? Are you the one man, the one woman? Here he is. Here's a guy who faithfully delivered the Word of God. Now, I'll just be real honest with you. Already I'm convicted. How many times have I had opportunity to share the Word of God with somebody and didn't do it? Here's a man who is faithfully going to deliver the Word of God. So, Ahab doesn't like him. Why? Well, he's negative. He doesn't like me. He always says bad things about me. Now, you may kind of feel that way too about Pastor and myself. I don't know. But meanwhile, by the way, we got a show going on here. Look down in verse 11. And Zedekiah, he's one of the false prophets, these 400 guys, the son of Chenaiah, made him horns of iron. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou hast consumed them." And all the prophets prophesied, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it." Can you see the show going on? I mean, we got some excitement now. Got to make some horns of iron, put them on his head. He's running around saying, "Go get them, go get them. You know, you're going to wipe them out. It's going to be great." You know, talk about excitement. By the way, we don't know, but it's very possible he was basing this on Deuteronomy 33:17, which says, "His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of a unicorn. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth." And of course, this was Moses talking about the tribe of Joseph. It may be he took that passage, I don't know. But here's his message. So here comes, they go get Micaiah. Let's see what happens here in verse 13. "And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good." Now, let's stop for a second. What was this servant, what was the premise for his remark? Why would he say such a thing? What's that? Okay, so he goes to, he said, look, say what they said. Now, what is his foundational belief that led him to say that? That's what Ahab wants to hear. Yeah? Even deeper. What is his view of prophesying and the prophet?
Make it feel good.
What's that? So the prophet is able to do what? Say what he wants to say. Are you with me? It's like, what's he talking about? He assumed that this prophet of God could just get up and say whatever he wanted to say. I mean, that's what the other guys did. Okay? Does that make sense? You see that? You want to use my glasses? Okay, all right, okay. All right, so let's go on. So Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." Oh, wait a minute, we got a problem. The guy said, hey, these guys say good. You need to say good. And he says, can't do it. Whatever God tells me to say, that's what I've got to say. Wow, there's a man of God. There's a man of God. Now, something really strange happens, okay? Let's look at it. Verse 15, "And so he came to the king. The king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, Go and to prosper, if the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." Now, you think the king would say, yes, just what I wanted to hear. But look what he says. "And the king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord?" Now, I wish that we could have been there. Here's what I think happened. I think he comes on the scene and he says, okay, you want to hear it, king? Here we go. And he says, just go up and prosper. The Lord's with you. Whatever you want to do, man, do it. And the king said, yeah, right. Tell the truth. So he's got this, I think, I call it his sarcastic delivery. Just go up and do it. Yeah, you'll be all right. And the king says, hey, buddy, you need to tell the truth. Now, listen to what this guy says. Verse 17, and he said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you you would prophesy no good concerning me but evil?" What's he saying? What's he telling the king? You're going to die. You're going to die. There will be no leader. You're going to die. Here's a man who said, you know what? I am going to stand and I'm going to tell the truth no matter what. Let me ask you a question. Is it always easy to tell the truth? Aren't there times, spiritually speaking, when you're talking to people about the Lord, it'd be easier to just kind of fudge, that's a nice word, fudge a little bit? You mean my dad, who was not a Christian and did not believe in Christ, did not go to heaven? You mean there's only one way to get to heaven? I had a situation yesterday. My wife and I were visiting. And so what's wrong with not being married and having children? Well, nothing really. It's okay. That'd be the easy answer. Are you a Christian who's committed to delivering the truth? You know, folks, we are a blessed people. I was raised in a preacher's home in America. Heard the truth 9 months before I was born. I was hearing the truth. I have heard the truth. I have known the truth my whole life. Many of you are in the same boat. We have the truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word is truth. It is the truth that will set people free. They need to hear the truth. The word of God says in 1 Timothy 2:4 that he will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And in verse 15 he says we need to study to show ourselves approved in God so we can right divide the word of God. Is that you? Are you a man or a woman consumed with the truth of the Word of God and consumed with delivering it to other people? You've got the truth. You have the truth. Now here's a man who said, you know what? I'm going to deliver the truth. Oh, that we could be like the Apostle Paul. He also said in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Have you been ashamed of the gospel? I have. You say, what do you mean? Well, you know where you're in that checkout line? And the Lord said, you need to give that lady a track or that man a track. And you said, you know why I would, Lord, but there's five people behind me. And if I do this, they're going to say, religious fanatic, nutcase, weirdo. They may reject it. Doesn't happen very often in the South, but it could happen. Oh, that we could be people consumed with giving out the truth. You know, we are consumed with a lot of stuff, aren't we? It's so easy to consume. Frank, we're consumed, all right, with the Dodgers. Huh? And we can tell you who the guys are on the team. We can tell you what's going on. Hershiser's supposed to come back. Or not Hershiser. That's old stuff. Kershaw's supposed to come back here in a couple of weeks. It's going to be. Anybody else a Dodger fan here? Anybody else saved? Oh, we got one more back there. Good. I was a Dodger. I played baseball. I would dodge the ball wherever we go. Isn't it amazing? Now, sports may mean nothing to you. But think about what consumes your life. What are you consumed with? What's extremely important to you? Now just think, there's probably 100 people here this morning in this room. What would happen to the Tri-Cities if every one of us became consumed with knowing the truth and sharing the truth? What would happen? Can you imagine? That's this guy here. He is consumed with it. And he gives a sarcastic delivery, and then he gives this strong delivery, and he said, King, you're going down. Not an easy message, but it was true. He didn't mince words, didn't try to sugarcoat it. He didn't pull any punches. He just said, hey, the Lord says, man, you're going to die. And Israel's going to be scattered like sheep on a hillside because they don't have a leader. You go out to fight those guys, you're going to die. Now, got 12 minutes. My next one, I gave you the sarcastic delivery, the strong delivery. The third one is the strange delivery. I hope you've got your thinking caps on this morning. I hope you're awake. Okay, no, yeah. Good. All right, I'm going to read a couple verses and I'm going to let you make some response. In verse 19, hear therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. Okay, you get the picture? And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this matter, another said on that matter. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? Now listen, he said, this is one of these spirits. I will go forth and be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do that so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit. Let me read that again. The Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. How many of you heard bells going off? Like, what? Is there something troubling about that passage? I didn't realize this until I began to study and did some did a little more research. But this passage, they said, this one guy said, has been used by people who hate the Word of God and who hate God to attack the Scripture and to attack God. Why would that be? How could they use it like that? Some of you are thinking this morning. The Lord put what spirit? Doesn't that strike you a little bit odd? What do you know about God? God can't lie. God can't lie. And yet it says he puts a lying spirit or in the spirit. And the spirit, whatever it is going to go persuade these prophets to believe a lie. Do you find that troubling? I do too. And this is one of those passages, if you ever read commentaries, where they wax eloquent on the easy stuff. Then they get to these verses, they just kind of skip over it. And said, go read somebody else. Let me give you my take. Now, this is not the main point of the lesson, so I don't really want to spend a whole lot of time here, but I think we need to answer it. The easiest thing is just to skip over and say, well, when you get to heaven, you'll understand it. Here's the scene, I believe. I think this is a scene similar to the book of Job. In the beginning of the book of Job, we have a picture of heaven, and God is there with the sons of men, but who else is there? Satan is also there. Now, we find this same picture in Revelation chapter 12, where it talks about the fact that the devil is accusing you before the Lord every day of your life. And it's interesting to me, now again, this is what I think, okay? If you think differently, you help yourself, all right? This is what I think. It said that the host there that he was standing with, I said the Lord on his throne, a host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. I tend to think that you have all the angels in attendance. Both the holy angels and the fallen angels. Okay? Which would include Satan or Lucifer. Because we know that God cannot lie, but what do you know about Satan? In John 8:44, he is called the what? He's the father of lies. So if a lie occurs, it's something that has been spawned by Satan. And my feeling is that Ahab and these prophets, they were going to believe a lie, and God said, okay, fine, just help yourself. And these guys, which I don't believe God instituted the lie, but he allowed them to deceive these prophets. Okay? Now, we can talk about all the different kinds of the will of God and all of those things, but I do believe in a sovereign God. I do believe God is in control, But God is not the author of sin. He cannot be. God will never tempt you to sin. But he will allow the devil to tempt you to sin. We see that in the book of Job. And my take is that God has allowed this lying spirit, which would be Satan or one of his emissaries or the hordes of evil, to delude these prophets they would believe a lie. Okay? Now, that may muddy the waters. It may clear the waters. You may not even know where the waters are. But that's my feeling. Okay? Right. Good. 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 So, again, this is not the main point of the lesson. I don't want you to dwell there, and that's why I'm not going to dwell there either. What I want to dwell on is the fact, and by the way, there's some other passages. If you want to study this further, if you look at 2 Samuel 24 and 1 Chronicles 21, in one passage it says David, that God moved David to number the people. In the other passage, it said Satan provoked him to do it. Again, my feeling is God allowed Satan to go and to tempt David. We see the same thing, by the way, if you want to study this some more, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where God is sending a strong delusion that they would believe a lie. Okay? I think these all fall in the same category. This is God, who is sovereign, allowing these works to occur. Okay? All right. Now, here is a man who faithfully gave the word of God. All right, let's shift gears. Okay, can you do that? Shift gears back to the main thrust of the lesson. This man, Micaiah, who said, I'm going to give the truth no matter what. He said, I'm bound by the truth. I have to say what the Lord has told me to say. So he does. And he tells these false prophets, look, here's the reason you're lying. Here's the reason it's all occurring. So what happens? So in verse 24. Now, when you give the truth, everybody ought to be happy, right? Everybody ought to say, oh, bless your heart, you gave me the truth, right? What happens? And it says, but Zedekiah, the son of Shenaiah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way that went the Spirit of the Lord for me to speak unto thee? So he smacks him upside the head. And Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. He said, yeah, buddy, you're going to find out when I'm telling the truth. And it's going to cause you to go into an inner room and hide because of the enemy coming in. But he told the truth. Right? How the king, surely Ahab, being the great, great guy he was, and the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and carry him back into Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison. Wait a minute. He told the truth. He said, put him in prison, give him bread and water, the bread of affliction, the water of affliction, until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, you're right, king, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Right? He backpedaled, right? Look at verse 28. Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. He stuck to his guns, didn't he? And he continued to tell the truth. Now here's a great example of a man who delivered the word of God faithfully, no matter what. No matter what. I wonder how we would do with that if somebody came to us and said, look, you need to quit telling the word of God. You need to quit living for God or else I'm going to fire you. Now, I know, by the way, there is a way and a time to do that. When you're at work, really your time belongs to your boss. He's paying you. But I do believe there are still opportunities to speak for the Lord. But I just wonder if your neighborhood got together and said, you know, you've got that I love Jesus or Jesus first sign in your yard. You're going to have to take it out or we're kicking you out of the neighborhood. You're gone. How much do you love the truth? How much are you driven and how much am I driven to share the truth? This will be easy. Okay? You say, I don't know. All right. How much did you share the truth this week? Were there any times this week that you had the opportunity to share the truth, whether it's giving a tract to someone or giving a witness to someone, and you did it? Are we driven by a desire to give the truth to other people? Micah, I was. He said, I'm going to speak for the Lord no matter what. Whatever God tells me, I'm going to say it. And he knew when he told the truth that it would not be accepted, would not be well received. But he still gave the truth. Did you get the point this morning? Okay. Let me encourage you to do some self-examination. Say, Lord, forgive me for not sharing the truth when I had opportunity. Well, we let opportunities go by every day, don't we? They just come and they go and we lose them. Hey, let me encourage you this week. Ask the Lord today. Say, Lord, show me the opportunities and help me to take them. Help me to faithfully share the truth of the Word of God. Everywhere you go. Lord, help me to faith. By the way, for many of you, you're going to go out to eat lunch this afternoon. Okay? There's a place to start. Now, I'm eating at home. I'm not going to give my wife a track. I don't think she needs it. She'll be okay. But for many of you, there's a great opportunity to start. Some of you may be eating at Zaxby's. Leave a track in the bathroom. You never know what's going to happen. You never know. Let's just be faithful. Sharing the truth. Okay? All right. Lord, we do thank you for this example today of a man who delivered the truth of the Word of God. And oh God, I know I've failed so often in that area. And Lord, I'm praying right now that you'd give me opportunity to share the truth of the Word of God this week. And Lord, help me open my eyes that I would see the opportunity and give me the boldness and the wisdom to take the opportunity. And I pray for everyone in this class who is a child of God, who knows the truth, that Lord, you would help us to spread the truth faithfully this week. Help us to be the one man or the one woman who will stand for God, who will share the truth no matter what. And Lord, may there be eternal fruit from our witness this week, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.